Welcome to the Freedom Report.
What I love about Austin Peterson is his love of the battle. He wants to fight.
Austin was, of course, the rabble-rouser, just to make sure I stayed Rothbardian.
We live in a world fraught with danger, and there is a certain amount of danger that the public must endure in order to secure the blessings of liberty.
For economic freedom and personal liberty. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. Thank you so much. I'm here with my special guest and my friend, Kristen Thomas. Kristen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
It's nice to have you here. And Kristen, for those of you, for those of the listeners maybe who don't know or aren't familiar, who missed your previous show with us, would you mind just filling us in on who you are and what you do?
Well, this is actually my third show with you.
Oh, number three. That's right. Yes.
So I'm a relationship, dating, and sex coach. I have my own business called Open the Doors Coaching. Mm-hmm. I help people with their love lives.
Excellent. So this is the perfect guest for me to have on this show because we're going to be talking about Facebook crippling their community organizing with overzealous attempts to stop Russian trolls. And this article came from Elizabeth Nolan Brown, who is a writer over at Reason Magazine. And Elizabeth writes that Facebook's ham-fisted efforts to stop disinformation and foreign influence have made it much more difficult for political activists, community groups, and ideologically aligned communities to coalesce and organize. The social network's rules on political advertising burden nonprofits and are impossible to understand, states the Wall Street Journal. Facebook's new measures have been poorly executed and inconsistently applied, complains Daniel Gallant in the Journal op-ed. This is something I've experienced firsthand, Elizabeth is saying, in trying to navigate Facebook for the libertarian feminist group I co-founded, Feminists for Liberty. Whether it's the word feminism, the word liberty, or both, Facebook has coded the group as inherently political, even though we're a nonprofit and certainly not organizing around candidates, ballot issues, or elections. As such, we're subject to heightened scrutiny, including requests for all sorts of private, personal, and financial information in order to ask for donations, promote events, even a happy hour, or do things that pages and causes deemed non-political can do.
Wow. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. These new hoops were enacted after Facebook faced pressure from regulators over Russian troll farms running U.S. political pages and groups on the site. In the grand scheme of Facebook, their numbers and influence were very small, but American paranoia and desire to blame Trump's presidency on anyone but ourselves created a demand for Facebook to do something and making it harder for small nonprofits to organize and easier to suppress political speech is the approach the company took. Facebook's new measures, quote, unfairly burden charitable organizations and small businesses, yet are easy for organized or well-funded actors to circumvent. Yep. Mm-hmm. Several paid advertising campaigns run by my colleagues and clients have been inexplicably obstructed from Facebook's policing in the past several months. That's interesting.
Yeah, Facebook, had the same.
Yeah, Facebook refused to allow my New York cultural nonprofit, the New Yorican Poets Cafe, to pay to promote a post encouraging people to vote in the midterms because our page was, quote, not authorized to run ads related to politics. A campaign promoting a lecture about sculpture at the Boston Museum of Fine Arts was blocked because Facebook censors mistakenly believed it was intended to influence an election in Ireland. It's weird. The problem is widespread. The Atlantic reported on November 2nd that Facebook's election security policies have caused it to block advertising campaigns from organizations, including community centers, national parks, and charities that serve wounded veterans. Wow. Facebook's new policies regarding sexual content, this is the interesting part, of course.
This is where it hits me.
Sex is always,
this is why I brought it up to you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Are causing consternation, too. It wouldn't be a stretch to think that asking Netflix and chill could run afoul of Facebook's new sexual solicitation policy, the Electronic Frontier Foundation warns. I got to stop it right there. What
right?
do you mean now Netflix and chill
right?
on Facebook? What is... We're screwed.
We are screwed. I mean, you know, we were talking about this last week.
Hulu and Hang.
Hang, right? Well, I'm asking for more.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about this last week, and you were over hanging out, and I was telling you about some of the changes that I'm going to have to make for my business because of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I actually don't post any Facebook ads, but I do post things about sexuality, LGBT issues, and... really, by these guidelines, that's saying that any group that is around sexuality, whether that's singles, gay, lesbian, kink, BDSM, anything could be scrutinized deleted, banned. You can't even message it. They're going to have bots going through your messenger algorithms, looking to see if you're sending dick pics or boobs or asking to have someone come over and go down on you. You know, like,
I would never do that because I'm saving myself for marriage. However, this kind of got started when...
But it's even if your spouse. Even if you ask your spouse for something sexual after work or something, like, you should be able to send whatever you want on your messenger.
The idea that people are sleeping with their spouses frankly disgusts me.
Oh, sure.
But this all started when Tumblr kind of took first action against porn on their community. Why did Tumblr do that?
I think it's all related to FOSTA and SESTA.
Can you explain to us
Sure,
what that
back
is?
Into that. FOSTA and SESTA were the pieces of legislation that were signed into law this spring by Trump. It was in reaction to helping to stop sex trafficking online. That's what shut down Backpage and Craigslist Personals. Internet service providers are now retroactively responsible for content posted on their websites. So I think this is just a reaction to that.
Slow down, because people who are listening, they probably are confused.
Sure.
So when you say people are retroactively responsible,
yes.
So this law essentially made it so that if you post something on Craigslist, Craigslist is now responsible.
Yes.
Okay, so that's different from before.
Yeah, so if you post something on Tumblr, Facebook's responsible.
So if somebody were to like post a comment advertising sex work on my website, the Libertarian Republic, it's on my website, and I didn't see the comment, but I'm responsible for that.
And your internet service provider is now responsible for it, so they, to be proactive, could just shut you down.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and we're seeing things like that happening all across the country. And there's all kinds of censorship happening on social media. And I was honestly surprised that Tumblr took that action because, you know, that was kind of a platform that was known for porn.
Exactly.
And Twitter, for example, Twitter bans people for political speech that they disagree with, but they allow porn.
I know. Well, and that's what I'm saying is that Twitter's probably going to be the platform that I focus on most now. You know, if I can't post something to talk about how to... you know, have better sex with your partner, but even by saying, like, have a more intimate love life, that's obviously, you know, trying to just, you know, sugarcoat saying sex, have better sex, so I can get banned for that. I don't even know if at this point I need to go back and delete previous content. I mean, it's just crazy to me that it's getting to the point where basically they're making Facebook PG.
Yeah. Now, the Electronic Freedom Foundation, Elliot Harmon over there, says that with such broadly sweeping rules, online trolls can take advantage of reporting mechanisms to punish groups they don't like. Combined with opaque and one-sided flagging in reporting systems, overly restrictive rules can incentivize abuse from bullies and other bad actors. Now, I can say this personally. Go ahead. You want to jump in?
And I just went through this.
Yeah, what happened?
My Instagram page disappeared the week of Thanksgiving. And what it looks like is that someone reported me. Mm-hmm. I didn't get an email from Instagram saying that I violated their terms and conditions. Mm-hmm. I have gotten nothing that's saying this post was inappropriate. My page is simply gone. My email address and my information is still tied to it because I had to start a new page this last week. Mm-hmm. And it won't let me turn it to a business page and connect it to all that information. So what that means is I got reported. Mm-hmm. And they shut down my page.
It just disappeared.
And I was to the point where I had built up a really good following. Mm-hmm. I had people contacting me regularly about coaching services. Mm-hmm. And now I've lost that entire audience.
See, it's just crazy because the thing is like, you know, the kind of work that you do, it's the kind of work that it's really hard to advertise for.
Yeah, and it's more on par with what like a therapist or a counselor does. I'm not a sex worker by any means.
Yeah.
I wasn't posting adult content. There was nothing inappropriate. Probably the most inappropriate thing that I had was right before the election. It was an illustration, black and white, of a woman nude, and the V of her, you know, front ended up spelling out vote.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know what got reported. I don't know what got flagged, but...
Yeah, Elizabeth Nolan Brown continues, and she says, even before the recent changes at Facebook and Tumblr, we'd seen trolls exploit similar policies to target the LGBTQ community and censor sexual health resources. Entire harassment campaigns have organized to use payment processors' reporting systems to cut off sex workers' income. When online platforms adopt moderation policies and reporting processes, it's essential that they consider how those policies and systems might be weaponized against marginalized groups. It's interesting because, even not from the sex angle, is when I was running for Senate, The last week of the campaign, I got banned for temporary suspension from Twitter for 12 hours because I got raided by social Democrats online.
They kept reporting me. And I think that's what happened to me, too. Like, when it's just an automatic process for getting reported, then it's hard to counteract that. As the person who has that account, it's not easy to get your account back. It's not easy to get things unlocked, but it's really easy for someone to lock your stuff down.
Here's what's really troublesome, especially for our audience. It says it's not just individual trolls reporting either. State actors have systematically abused Facebook's flagging process to censor political enemies. I wonder who that could be. With these new rules, organizing that type of attack just became a lot easier. A few reports can drag a user into Facebook's labyrinthine enforcement regime, and I've been banned from Facebook like 3 times, which can result in having a group page deactivated or even banned from Facebook entirely. This process gives the user no meaningful opportunity to appeal a bad decision. So, and you didn't even have a chance to appeal Instagram's decision.
No, I have emailed them multiple times through their website. I have tweeted at them. I have done everything that I can on every platform possible to try to reach out to them. I've probably reached out to them in 12 different times and have heard nothing.
So the big discussion that's not being had about this with Facebook is the question of whether or not Facebook is what's called known as a common carrier or whether they should be known as a publisher. And this is a question that actually Ted Cruz asked of Mark Zuckerberg in the Senate hearings. He was trying to get them to admit that they were a publisher, because a publisher has certain standards and rules that must that should be public. If they want to act ethically, then they have to explain why, you know, they're removing someone from their platform, especially if it's for something like political speech. You know, if you remember, you know, Ben Shapiro got, you know, removed from Breitbart. Tommy Lahren was removed from The Blaze, for example. And because they are The Blaze is a publisher, there is some accountability that's there. But if you're what's known as a common carrier, then you're not supposed to be censoring for political speech or viewpoints, or if you're an LGBTQ community or if you're a sex worker. I mean, and what's really crazy
is so they can't play both sides.
Yeah, some of these groups are secret, right? Some of these like groups were like
sex coaches. Oh yeah, I definitely have secret groups
it's
that
not
I'm
as
on
if it's
or closed
out there,
groups.
Right, it's not there. It's not as if all of this stuff is in public.
No, absolutely
right?
not.
A lot of these groups are secret. Some of these are very private, and so the information actually doesn't get out to the public unless you get accepted into these groups. So Facebook doing this takes these people who are in closed groups and puts them even further into a hole from being able to continue to have important conversations.
And that's
like,
why you go
like
to the internet.
Health,
yeah,
right?
absolutely.
Right, like the last person you want to ask about sexual health is your parents. You know what I mean?
I wish that weren't the case.
Yeah, but it's
but
true.
It's true.
Right?
Yes.
Nobody wants
come
to
me.
It. Right.
OpenTheDoorsCoaching.com.
All right, OpenTheDoorsCoaching.com. But, you know, the you know, I think probably what people fear now is the fact that some of these people who are sex workers, you know, are going to get reported. And, you know, Facebook and Twitter, I believe, have a right to police what's on their platform, right? I mean, if somebody is being abusive, right, you should have the opportunity to remove someone who's obviously being abusive.
Right.
If I were to run a website, I mean, the Libertarian Republic runs some spicy articles, but we don't want to put any pornography or anything like
right.
that. Sometimes some sexy pictures, but that should be up to me. But the fact that the government has stepped in with his new FOSTA and SESTA laws and says that I'm responsible for people who post stupid crap on my website scares the bejesus out of me. And frankly, the fact that I have seen Facebook and Twitter, I have been censored for my political speech, for my political viewpoints, and been ganged up on is one of the reasons why I, you know, I look at these social media giants and think, you know, these people need to answer some questions, right? They need to answer some public questions. And, you know, God knows I ran against Attorney General Josh Hawley, but one of his big campaigns now is to demand that some of these social media giants and groups like Google are more transparent in their operations and how these things work. But the issue here that first came up was why they were doing this. Facebook is saying it's because they want to stop Russian trolls, right?
Right.
So, like, you know, the idea is that during the election, Russian trolls spent money on advertising, and they're trying to clamp down in order to stop things like that. You know, probably a good thing, right? Would you say?
Yes.
Yeah. So, but unfortunately, what we have are these unintended consequences where now everybody's getting swept up in this dragnet. Did you want to comment on that?
The slippery slope.
Yeah, it's a kind of a slippery slope fallacy here. And, you know, to me, I think it is, people are going to say it's not a free speech issue, but I don't know if I necessarily believe that anymore, simply because so many of these social media giants have contracts with the government. I mean, Facebook Facebook gave our private information over to Netflix.
And Hulu.
And Hulu, yeah. Our private messages over to these people.
Yeah.
That seems like a violation of the terms of service that they have with their with the people who sign up for it.
Agreed, yeah.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, if they're going to engage in that kind of a behavior, which shows that they're breaking the terms of service, who's there to enforce it if they break the terms of service on their end? Right? Whose job is it?
It's just up to us as users to leave the platform, which is what I'm strongly considering.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just Facebook is just so much less useful than it ever was, especially now because of these kinds of things.
Well, yeah, I'm going to switch to Twitter. And, I mean, I really do believe that there's the free market will provide.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will step in and take over where Facebook is leaving off.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, I wish I had it. But there was a website that is, it basically sent an open letter to Tumblr. Like, oh, well, you've abandoned all your users. We're letting all people move their blogs and everything over so that they don't lose their years and years and years of content and work that they've put into their pages.
Yeah.
It's
enough to make me miss MySpace. You know, Tom from MySpace would never do this to us.
Tom would have never done this to us. Tom was a real friend.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was. He was our top friend, our number one friend for a number of years. All right, so we've got a couple more minutes on this, Kristen. I'd kind of like to just kind of have a discussion a little bit about your business. What it is that you do. Because, you know, sex coach is kind of the thing it's where it's like, you know.
Oh, trust me, I get asked inappropriate questions all the time.
It's like, are you like there to like guide it in?
Absolutely not.
No, okay. So no. What does a sex coach do, Kristen? Tell us a little bit more about this.
Again, think of me as being a step below a therapist. Okay. It is all still talk, but maybe we can get a little bit more creative.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things that I did this last year was take a client to a sex store and help her pick out a new toy. She had always only had toys that her ex had gotten for her, and she said, I don't like them. I don't want them. I was like, you know, there's a lot of different things out there right now. So we picked out one that was like nothing she'd ever had before. This woman went from saying that it was like the Sahara Desert to saying that it's now like Niagara Falls. So
this is so hot. explicit. This is going on the iTunes explicit chart. So you'll do things like go shopping with them.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So I went shopping with her to help her. I mean,
I'm going to.
Not like I went home with her. I just, you know, sent her home with her bag and said, good luck with your homework.
That's kind of cool, actually. Yeah, I mean, that's very unorthodox.
Right.
What made you want to do this?
Well, I was a weight loss coach for a long time, and I really liked that coaching focus of being kind of focused on where are you now and where do you want to be and how do you set goals to get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I really like helping people is the steps to their future best self.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really open when it comes to human sexuality. There's nothing that really bothers me except for medical fetish. And I tell my clients that, and they're
medical
like,
medical fetish?
If you don't know what it is, then we don't have a problem. I won't have to refer you out. So that's okay. And
I don't know what that is?
I am very glad you don't know what it is. I follow a couple of pages on Instagram that are folks that are into receiving or giving as DOMs and subs, but medical fetish is one thing I don't like because I don't like blood or needles, so we're going to leave it at that.
Furiously Googling medical fetish.
Everybody probably is.
Oh my God, that's so terrifying. I mean, good Lord.
The only thing I don't really like talking about, but some of the other things that I've helped couples with are just, again, reconnecting,
mm-hmm.
helping them get back to that place where they want to have sex with each other. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't really help people that are on the verge of divorce.
Right.
That's really what a therapist is for.
Right.
I help people that are in love and just not as happy as they really want to be.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things, too, I think people probably fear the stigma
mm-hmm.
of going to a therapist,
yeah.
like a full-blown therapist. Maybe they don't want to, like, go through the whole rigmarole and then have to explain that. They probably
mm-hmm.
want something a little more private,
yeah.
a little bit more discreet. When they're seeking out their services for medical or something, I don't know. But
well,
she doesn't do that, folks.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
yes.
right. Well, and again, there's a time and a place to refer people out mm-hmm. for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what I say, I help people that have already kind of
mm-hmm.
either dealt with their baggage
mm-hmm.
and left it behind, or they've at least got it sorted and they know what they're carrying around,
mm-hmm.
but they're ready to maybe let it go. Kind of more self-aware people. If you've got years of trauma, I'm not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
If you have serious issues with family and your parents and depression, like, I'm not a good fit.
Mm.
What I am a good fit for is people who are again, kind of just tired of their present
mm-hmm.
and ready for a different future.
How do people usually contact you when they're seeking your services?
usually reach out to me on my website, which again is openthedoorscoaching.com. Uh-huh. You can still reach me for now on Facebook.
Yes.
Open the Doors Coaching. Twitter and Instagram, Open the Doors KC.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, my website has my email address on there as well as my contact information. So
cool. So do you have any exciting events coming up in the new year or anything like that coming up?
Yeah. Do. Yes. Thank
What's
you.
What's going on?
January 9th, mm-hmm. I have a self-defense and awareness workshop that I'm co-hosting.
Tell us all about it.
We'll actually have someone from the State Department, from the Diplomatic Security Services, who will be there, as well as two gentlemen who run a company called Travel Aware.
Mm-hmm.
Actually met with them today to kind of go through what they're going to discuss and what I'm going to discuss. And it's going to be just a lot of
personal safety,
awareness. It's definitely not intended to scare anyone. It's actually intended to help people feel really comfortable when they're traveling abroad, because then they'll feel like they are doing the right thing.
So if you're like dating overseas, to be safe.
Right. So, well, it's not so much. Well, I just mean if you're traveling overseas, or I am going to cover some of the dating safety. Absolutely.
Right.
So they'll cover the travel stuff, which I've traveled extensively. I've been to 26 countries, 44 states. Had it not been for my background as a American Kenpo instructor with a second class Brown.
Yes.
And my situational awareness training, I probably would have been kidnapped in Mumbai.
Yeah. And probably the most dangerous thing that ever happened was that Kristen had a, she dated a Trump supporter, right?
Oh my God.
We've already talked about that. Dating in the age of Trump. You can actually listen to that Freedom Report podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher, as well as Spotify. Kristen, I'm always happy to have you on. We should get you on my radio show this week.
I would love that.
Yeah, we should get you on. I'll be hosting KCMO Talk Radio this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So very cool.
A few days after Christmas.
I'm so proud of you that you got that gig.
Thank you. It's such a lovely gig, and it's one of those things you get up for at like 4 a.m., but it's totally worth it. The show starts at 6, goes from 6 till 9, and I'm hosting on. You can listen to it on KCMOTalkRadio.com. Kristen, we'll have to get you on that show as well to talk about it. I think you're going to light up the lines. Everybody's going to want to call in and talk to Kristen. We'll have to have you for a segment, and then we'll have to have you answer questions for the next segment, something like that.
I would love that.
That'd be fun. All right.
We have to have a good call screener, because we can't have any weirdos calling in.
Weirdos are going to call in, and they're going to want to talk about medical fetishes, and you're just going to have to deal with it, yo, because it's Kansas City. People will be strange.
I might start gagging if I have to talk too much about medical fetish. That's why I don't want to talk about it.
Well, we're not going to talk about it, that on air, because we're going to have to keep it somewhat PG.
I'll talk about any other fetish you want.
Okay.
Even ASMR.
I don't know what that is, and I don't think I want to know.
I just did it.
Okay, I don't want to know, Kristen. You're my best friend, and we don't talk about these things. Or maybe we do, but we should do it off air. Yeah. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Don't forget that you can always support the Freedom Report podcast by going to Patreon and doing a $5, $10, even up to $50 a month donation. If you make a big donation, of course, you get a signed autographed headshot. And our smaller donors, yellow belts, brown belts, those guys, you're going to get entered in drawings to win campaign memorabilia, signed campaign memorabilia, signed books from the years that I've collected in my journeys in libertarianism. Thank you so much for listening, and have a Merry Christmas, folks.
Merry Christmas.